Bhagyam, fortune. Aho, what great. Bhagyam, fortune. Nanda, Maharaj Nanda. Gopa, of the other coward man. Vraja Okasam, of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. Yat, of whom? Mitram, the friend. Parama Anandam, the supreme bliss. Purnam, complete. Brahma, the absolute truth. Sanatanam, eternal. So, translation. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the coward man, and all the other inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. So you can repeat. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the coward man, and all the other inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune. Because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. So, purport by the disciples and servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, Text 149. So, first we're going to read from the commentary in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and then we're going to read, since these are not Prabhupada's purports, then we have we actually have more leeway. We can read some of the commentaries of the Acharyas too. I wouldn't do that with Prabhupada's purports because that wouldn't be the etiquette. But since these are the purports written by my godbrothers, then we can read these other commentaries too of this same verse and actually get a very well-rounded viewpoint of what is happening here. Because these particular texts are extremely important, these prayers of Lord Brahma. And I want to thank Daivir again for pointing that out to me. So commentary, this is Sanatana Goswami's commentary translated by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Magana Timadanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurvena Maha. Krishna acts for the benefit of the Brajavasis, not just in certain situations, but always. And he not only delivers them from fear, but also provides for them the highest varieties of ecstasy. Thus he is the source of their intense happiness, and they consider him their dearmost friend. Were he merely God, their love for him would be severely restricted. But Krishna at once is both the supreme absolute truth and dear friend of the residents of Nanda's coward village. So it's a little more information about this verse, which is extremely important, the prayers of Lord Brahma, which is actually on the same level as the Brahma Sanhita, because these prayers are directly coming from our original preceptor. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, and you're going to get some special nectar from these Acharya's commentaries. After praising the Brajavasis with Ragatmaka Vatsalya Prema, Brahma, in praising those with Ragatmaka Sakya Prema, because Vatsalya means like parental relationship, and Sakya means friendship relationship. So you see in this particular verse, he's actually praising those right here in friendship relationship. So he deals with the different rasas in these different verses. Praises all those relishing intimate relationships with the Lord. He repeats the phrase, aho bhagyam, twice to indicate his extreme bliss and astonishment. It's wonderful. Aho bhagyam, oh my God, like us saying, oh my God. The neuter case is used. See how Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur really gets into the analysis here. The neuter case is used instead of the masculine case as a matter of traditional usage. The word, use of the word Ananda indicates Brahman described in the Shrutis as Satyam Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. The absolute truth is Satyam Ananda, anyway. The word Parama is used to indicate that Krishna is the basis of Brahman. The word Purna indicates that Krishna is distinct from the avatar's forms who are also Brahma Sarupa. He is the friend, Mitra, but not a temporary friend, an eternal friend, Sanatana. So see how he's dealing with this word. It says, Purnam Brahma Sanatanam Yan Mitram Paramanandam. So and yeah, this friend gives you the supreme bliss. Going back to the verse again. Complete Brahma, Purnam Brahma Sanatanam, but he's your eternal friend too. It's really wonderful how Vishwanath Chakrabarti deals with this particular verse. Anyway, from this eternal friendship, it is also understood that Sridham and the others are also eternal. If I make a statement, he is an excellent Brahmin because his Brahminical qualities are excellent, the person's excellence is also understood. Similarly, in speaking of the eternality of the friendship, the friends are also understood to be eternal. This must be explained since the word Mitra connotes simply an ordinary friend. So that's a Sanskrit thing, that Mitra means just like an ordinary buddy. But he has to clarify this with the words Sanatanam and Paramanandam. Does everyone understand that? Like an extraordinary friend would be called Surit. Like Krishna in the fifth chapter of the Gita, text 29, he says, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Shanti Mrichati. So he describes himself there as Surit, which means, Su means good, Rit means heart. You know, so in other words, he's, as they would say in English, he's my bosom buddy. You heard that statement before? That means he's really close friends. So Krishna, but Mitra just means like someone I just met, basically. Oh yeah, he's my friend. I know him. So, but Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur clarifies this, that Krishna's not just Mitra, but he's a special friend. Sanatanam Paramanandam. What was it? Let's see. All the inhabitants of... Whoops, skipped here. Anyway, don't want to... from this eternal friendship is understood that he's an ex... We read that. Similarly, in speaking of the internality of the friendship, the friends are also understood to be eternal. All the inhabitants of Braj ruled by Nanda Gopa Vajalkasam, down to the birds and beasts were fortunate. What then to speak of Nanda himself and his coward men? Who can speak of the fortune of those who became the friend of Paramananda, Brahma Sanatana, he described. It is indescribable. The gopas themselves say, O Nanda, gopas, that means the coward men and the coward boys. O Nanda, all of us of Braj have uncontrollable attraction to your son. He also has natural affection for us. What is the cause? And that's from the 10th canto, 26th verse, text 13. The cause is he is Purna Brahma. The inhabitants of Braj give bliss to this form of supreme bliss. I'm trying to understand that. The inhabitants of Braj, that means Krishna's devotees, pure devotees, give bliss, give pleasure to Krishna. And the inhabitants become full of bliss. Brahma expresses extreme astonishment at this exchange of love. A whole bhagyam. So what's happening here is Brahma is like, they're giving you bliss, and you're giving them bliss. Wow. That's what he's saying in this verse. Interesting. I mean, when you read from the Acharyas here, you really get a very well... Anyway, there's more. This is not the end of the Acharyas. There's Jiva Goswami. The description, and this is these commentaries have been translated by Bhanuswami. So, the description of your glories, and Bhanuswami is a GBC, he's authorized. He's actually a very humble devotee. If anyone's met him, he sits in the GBC and basically doesn't say anything during the meetings. But he's the most erudite, educated person in many different languages. Well, I've never taken what he's cooked, but you know, one day we'll have to ask him to cook quinoa for me. So, the description of your glories in the spirit, this is Jiva Goswami, the description of your glories in the spiritual parts of the Vedas are not actually suitable. Wow. Understanding that his glories are completely different, Brahma speaks in astonishment. Oh, he is astonished. Their good fortune is inconceivable. He repeats the phrase with boldness to show their extreme good fortune and indicate his still greater astonishment. And there's a quote, "Why do you only show astonishment in the beginning? You should say, what is astonishing about them? What is astonishing about or what is the good fortune of Nanda and the other inhabitants of Braja, including the animals and birds? Krishna, who is the greatest bliss, gave them prema, which is deserved by natural friends. They were the objects of his prema." And then there's a quote here from the Bhagavatam, the 26th chapter of the Bhagavatam. "Dear Nanda, how is it that we and all the other residents of Braj cannot give up our constant affection for your son? And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us?" So Krishna has spontaneous love for his devotees. "Anandam is in the neuter for metrical reasons." So here previously, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said it was, he gave a different reason. He said this is just like traditional reasons. And Jiva Goswami has explained Anandam is in the neuter just to keep the meter. I mean, it's interesting. This hints at the Shruti, which says, see how educated Jiva Goswami is. So he's now referring to the Shruti, which is the Upanishads, the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishads, which says, "Viganam Ananda Brahma, he is knowledge and bliss. There is a little bliss, and there are many givers of prema in other forms of the Lord." So Jiva Goswami is saying, there's a little bliss, and many givers of prema, little bliss in other forms of the Lord. Here he's revealing his attraction for Nandanandana. "But bliss itself is not the doer in these cases. But bliss itself, Krishna..." So in other words, he's defining Krishna as bliss itself, or bliss himself, "is the giver of prema to the people of Braj. This is to be known from the Shruti alone." Shruti means the Upanishads and the original four Vedas. "Parama combined with Ananda means extraordinary sweetness by nature, like the highest sweetness and various degrees of sweetness in sugar candy. This is good fortune and astonishing. There's something else which is astonishing. This bliss is eternal." So in other words, he's also using the word sanatanam to refer to bliss, which is paramanandam, whereas Vishwanath Chakravarti uses the word sanatanam to refer to mitra, remember, or friendship. Why is that? It's interesting how the different acharyas give different lights to these lights to the verses. Why is that? It is because he is the greatest, Brahma. Ata kasmad uchite Brahma brimhati brimhayati cha. Brahman is great and gives greatness to others. That's Vishnu Purana says, Brahman is known as the supreme entity because it is the greatest and because it is the nourisher of all things. Though Brahman is defined as being great, starting with the phrase Ata nandasya mimamsa bhavati yete shatam. After multiplying the bliss by 100 each time from humans up to Brahma. The Shruti says that the Supreme Brahman has Brahma's bliss multiplied by 100. Then out of respect, it is said, and I'm going to skip the Sanskrit, those who know the bliss of Brahman, which words of mind cannot grasp, do not have fear at any time. Thus the Shrutis glorify the unlimited nature of Brahman as that which cannot be described by words or mind, but which has bliss by which friendship takes place, even though the greatness remains. Not only that, this is the full bliss, filled with the sweetness of form, qualities, pastimes, and powers which are innate, like his fragrance, for instance. In other words, all of Krishna's qualities are innate. They're part of his nature. Whereas the qualities that we exhibit in this world, in our material nature, are not innate. Let's say someone is intelligent, or someone is beautiful, or someone is famous. They're not innate. They're not innate qualities of the soul. So you can't, in other words, you can't separate Krishna's qualities from himself. Krishna's qualities are non-different from him. This is not what is seen or heard anywhere, nor is his friendship seen anywhere. He's talking about anywhere else. Though Krishna is now visible directly to Brahma, words which indicate the invisible Brahman are used to give particular flavor. The word mitram should be defined, since it is placed first. Paramanandam is the explanation of mitram, placed later. Thus the meaning is, in friendship, the highest bliss is attained. So he's, it's interesting. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur is combining mitram with sanatanam. And Jiva Goswami is combining mitram with paramanandam. You understand? So mitram with paramanandam means with the friendship with Krishna is the highest bliss. And mitram with sanatana means it's eternal friendship, not ordinary friendship, as Jiva Goswami describes. The friendship can be seen also in Rukmini and others. And such friends are described in statements of Shruti and Tantra. As previously, Krishna's nature is Swayam Bhagavan, and the aptness of Brahma's desire is also shown. And finally, Sanatana Goswami. Not only were they fortunate in giving their milk, Nanda and others, everyone living in Braj was fortunate. A ho was repeated out of great bliss or to indicate the greatest good fortune. Those who lived in the Braja of Nanda, or the animals and birds as well as Nanda and the cowards, were most fortunate. Even the cowards in general had good fortune. What can one say about Nanda's fortune? This is the use of Kayamutya. They had friendship with Krishna, from which there was the highest bliss. There was no decrease of happiness because of lamentation and suffering. It was perfect in regards to gratitude and other qualities. It was spread everywhere, available everywhere. It was eternal sanatanam, never unattainable. Or they were eternal friends of you, the complete Brahman. By the eternal friendship, he was eternally present with them. Not only did he save them from dangers, but bestow the highest bliss. He was the very form of the highest bliss. Or he gave them pure param bliss anandam as a friend, not as the Lord, since that would interfere with the intense prema. In other words, sometimes devotees of Vaikuntha are given bliss just by seeing, you know, how great Krishna is. You know, the opulence. That's Aishwarya. They worship Krishna in Aishwarya. Actually, some people worship Krishna in Aishwarya. Others worship Krishna in intimacy, Madhurya. That's sweetness, means sweetness. And other people worship Krishna in Audarya. You know what Audarya means? Audarya means magnanimity. So that sometimes the Mayapur is described as Audarya Dham. Audarya means the merciful Dham, magnanimity. And Vrindavan is described as Madhurya Dham, And the Vaikunthas are described as Aishvaryadam. So there's different moods. Of course, ultimately, you know, the mood in Mayapur is very much equivalent to the mood in Vrindavan, because, and we need the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Mayapur in order to understand Madhuryadam. And we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Hino nittai binaivar, Radhakrishna poite nai. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, no one can understand Radha and Krishna. And here's more in Sanatana. Although you are the complete Brahman, you have the people of Braj as friends. There's agreement with the neuter of Purna Brahman, since the words Mitram describe Brahman. Though the gopis and Radha are the greatest, this is not described here out of shyness, because he was acting as a son. This is Lord Brahma. I mentioned yesterday, Lord Brahma has a filial relationship with Krishna. He's the son of Krishna. Or because of the confidential nature of the topic. And that ras had not been developed at this time. That's interesting. Because at that particular time, the conjugal rasa had not been exhibited. You know, Krishna was just very small at that point. Of course, actually, it was exhibited because there's that whole story that when Narada Muni saw Radharani, then somehow or other, she was a little baby, she manifested herself as a full-grown with all the gopis, and then she was a baby again. Anyway. So these are eternal things, but Lord Brahma is approaching on the platform of the filial relationship, that he's the son. And generally the son doesn't get into the conjugal relationship of his parents. It's not really that appropriate. So, I mean, that pretty much touched upon everything. We can go on to the next verse, since these verses don't have purports in the Bhagavatam, unless someone has some questions before we go on to the next text, text 33, and there's actually more of a commentary on text 33. Any questions? Or? No? Okay. This is very interesting. To me, reading the commentaries of the Acharyas is really just an amazing experience. Okay, text 33, and I'll just read it. Esham tu bhagya mahima chuta tavarastam. And that's Chintamani. Esham tu bhagya mahima chuta tavarastam. Ekadashaiva hi vayam bataburi vaga. Etandrashi kacha shakar hasakrit pibama. Sarva dayongri. Yudaja madvanamrita savamte. Yet, even though the extent of the good fortune of these residents of Vrindavan is inconceivable, we 11 presiding deities of the various senses headed by Lord Shiva are also most fortunate, because the senses of these devotees of Vrindavan are the cups through which we repeatedly drink the nectarian, intoxicating beverage of the honey of your lotus feet. Wow. Because they're the presiding deities of the senses, and the residents of Vrindavan, of course, they all have spiritual bodies. They're not under the control of the demigods. But still, Lord Brahma is thinking like that. So let's read the commentary by Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is quite a lengthy commentary on this particular verse. In the material world, Lord Shiva is the deity who presides over every individual's ego. Remember that. And Chandra and 9 other demigods preside over everyone's mind and other senses. These 11 demigods are very fortunate because they perceive through the ego, intelligence, mind, eyes, skin, tongue, nose, speech, hands, and feet of every Brajabasi the nectar coming from Krishna's lotus feet. Wow. Nice to be a demigod. these demigods. These demigods witness how the Brajabasis use their egos to identify themselves as servants of Krishna, their intelligence to make their minds to act for his, always for his satisfaction, their eyes to see him, their tongues to chant, and their ears to hear his glories. Of course, they also experience everything going on with us, too, so with us, it's not always nectar. The Brajabasis experience Krishna's lotus feet to be amrita, immortal nectar, and also asava, extremely invigorating to their senses. Or we can understand these words in another way. The Brajabasis perceive his lotus feet to be asava, a beverage extremely intoxicating, even for those who are amrita, liberated souls beyond birth and death. This implies that the nectar of Krishna's feet provides pleasure even greater than the joy of liberation. So you can try that. When we greet the deities, you can just look at Krishna's feet and you will experience great happiness. Because the demigods preside over the various senses, each demigod has the opportunity through the one sense he oversees to serve Krishna by one of the many methods of devotional service. If the demigods attain the success of their lives merely by offering themselves to Krishna in this particular way, how can anyone describe the good fortune of the Brajabasis, who use all the senses to serve Krishna in every way possible? The demigods take part in the sensory experience of every living being in the universe. Whew. No, I don't want to be a demigod. Not even through the senses of other Vaishnavas can the demigods relish the same nectar they receive through the senses of the Brajabasis. Certainly, therefore, the Brajabasis are even greater than all other devotees of the Supreme Lord. Why does Brahma mention only 11 presiding deities of the senses? Excluding the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, who rules over the consciousness, citta, of the conditioned jivas, there are actually 13 such deities. One explanation is that because the functions of the anus and genitals cannot be directly engaged in worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the presiding demigods of these two senses do not enjoy their share of the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. The gopis may engage their genitals in the service of the Lord, but Brahma wants to avoid being impudent by discussing that subject. Or alternatively, the demigod Vishnu, who presides over the feet, is an empowered incarnation of Lord Vasudeva. So by not counting him and Mitra, the deity of the anus, we have 11 deities. Of course, because the residents of Braj have purely spiritual bodies, their senses are not subject to the control of material demigods. So they, giving the contrasting understanding here, which is what I stated in the beginning. Yet, as we have heard from Lord Shiva, the Brajabasis imitate the behavior of ordinary materially embodied human beings. At any rate, the Vaikuntha demigods, now here he's referring to Vaikuntha demigods, at the Vaikuntha demigods, Chandra, Surya, and others who have spiritual bodies descend to earth to take part in Krishna's pastimes in Braj. Therefore, Brahma is not wrong to describe these demigods as being extremely fortunate by associating with the Brajabasis. So actually, this is described elsewhere, that the demigods, actually in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, elsewhere, that the demigods in this world are expansions of personalities in the spiritual world. Like if you have Goloka Vrindavan, it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna's associates, those associates expand as Krishna's associates in the Vaikuntha planets, or in Dwarka, Mathura, and the Vaikuntha planets. Like Garuda is one of the, he's an expansion of one of the coward boys, either Sudama or Sridham, in Goloka Vrindavan. So you have, and the demigods are actually expansions like that, empowered expansions. It's an established fact that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma have spiritual bodies, so we can accept the other demigod, Brahma refers to have spiritual bodies also. Since a connection with the Brajabasis makes the Vaikuntha demigods especially fortunate, we can deduce that the Brajabasis are more exalted than anyone else. Anyway, just a few words from the commentaries. I think we can read part of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this. The inhabitants of Braj have also made us most fortunate. That is the intention of this verse. What to speak of their great fortune, we have also become fortunate. Who can describe it? We, the 11 deities, pretty much the same thing. In charge of the senses, headed by Shiva, have become most fortunate, for their senses were the drinkers experience. This is pretty much the same thing. Delicious of the delicious intoxicant of the sound of Krishna's ankle bells on his lotus feet. Well, here's the sound of the ankle bells. In this way, he expresses his determination to hear, touch, see, taste, smell, sing about, and massage the Lord. So this is a little bit different explanation. When he's talking about the senses, Lord Brahma is saying, I want to do all these things. I want to touch, smell, serve, massage the Lord. There are 10 senses, plus the mind, intelligence, false ego, and chitta, with corresponding devatas. He touches about the same thing with the senses. Here's something that should be considered. The sun, moon, devatas, men and animals, and all the other entities of the spiritual world are Satchidananda. The material sun, moon, devatas are imitations of their spiritual counterparts, is pretty much what I said. The devatas of the material realm are especially empowered agents of the devatas of the spiritual world. In other words, there's devatas in the spiritual world. The material senses cannot act alone. Only by the devatas' power can the senses experience material objects. But the spiritual senses of the associates of the Lord experience the Lord's form and sound by their own spiritual senses, not those of material devatas. But Brahma, in his enthusiasm, identified his powers over material intellect with the senses of the inhabitants of Braj. Furthermore, the material senses experience the enjoyment of the objects of the material world, and the senses of the devatas, being enablers of the senses, do not enjoy. However, without Brahma and others being situated in the intelligence, eye, etc., the senses of even those fixed in Krishna consciousness could not experience form or smell. This is the opinion of those who are knowledgeable of the soul. Because of the eagerness to taste Krishna, Brahma and the others were able to experience bliss in spite of two faulty reasons. One, through mere instigators of actions of the senses, they took on the role of being enjoyer, mokta, and though they were the devatas of material senses, they took on the role of being devatas of the spiritual senses. These are the contrary actions of prema. Really esoteric. In Pajavali, Pajavali is Rupa Goswami's compilation of different verses. It is said, one reaches perfection by lying and criticizing. Factually, the senses of the associates of the Lord, I mean, this is spiritual. You know, the spiritual world is lying and criticizing, you know. Anyway. Factually, the senses of the associates of the Lord are spiritual like the Lord, and how could material devatas enter the spiritual senses? Another meaning of the verse is that sometimes the devotees will praise their own good fortune out of greediness for Krishna's sweetness. The good fortune of the inhabitants of Braj is incomparable, Eka. We 10 devatas, 10 digpalas, that means protectors of the 10 directions, are most fortunate. Why? Touching with his finger his own senses, he says, we also experience with our senses your beauty and sweetness as you leave Braj to herd the calves. So that's all we have time for today. Anyway, a lot of esoteric nectar here. So we have to greet the deities. And tomorrow, text 34, which does have a purport here, and has a purport by Sanatana Goswami, and has a purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti. Thank you.